Reeders?
Here.
Funkhauser?
Here.
Terulis?
Here.
Teeling?
Here.
A quorum is established.
Any amendments to tonight's agenda? No presentations. We do have a public hearing. So for the record, I will read this. We'll go into public hearing for Dover Development. LLC has filed an application requesting authorization of amendment to the existing Cannonball Trails Plan Unit Development and Annexation Agreement for the purpose of constructing a new two-story assisted living with memory care facility. The petitioner seeks to amend the previously approved exhibits in the Plan Unit Development to incorporate a revised conceptual site plan and to allow for all uses that are currently permitted in the B1 Local Business District, B2 Retail Commerce Business District, and O Office District. Specifically and without limitation, to assisted living and memory care, adult daycare facilities, and medical office uses. Additional requested amendments to the Plan Unit Development and Annexation Agreement relate to expiration of recapture payments, requirements for certain public infrastructure improvements, and site signage. The real property consists of approximately 6.7 acres and is generally located at northeast corner of U.S. Highway 34 and Cannonball Trail in Yorkville, Illinois. So with that, we'll open the public hearing, and Mr. Schultz, you have something to say.
Jordan Dorsey, I'm with Dover Development and Sears Living. As you just stated, we're proposing a 73-unit assisted living and memory care facility at Cannonball Trail and Highway 34. We've got a color rendering here. This is sort of what it will look like. 53 units will be assisted living and 20 units will be memory care, which is a portion of the building that is devoted to residents with Alzheimer's and related dementias. It's an approximately $12 million project, huge tax generator, and by all accounts we've seen, it's a huge need in this community, and we're really excited to be here. So I'll limit it to that. I'm happy to answer any other questions that anybody has.
Okay, are there any questions from the public on this development? Any questions from the council? Chris?
I just want to follow up on our conversation from DC. Did staff have a chance to discuss it, or Dave, if you had a chance to discuss the questions we had regarding signage and some of the other comments that I brought up in DC?
Yes, I did discuss it with Dave a little further. The signage is going to, especially with the public hearing that we have with the Planning and Zoning Commission, is going to remain as presented, and it was recommended staff recommendation of the phasing of the signs. They are looking at probably putting some maximum height or some type of signage plan to present to the council, but they will not have it as an exhibit to the actual agreement. It may change in some shape or form, maybe material, maybe look at the signage area. They did present some at the PC meeting, but they just wanted to give you an idea of what type of signage they are proposing. Have a question about sidewalk extension as well. That's something that engineering is looking at. I don't know necessarily if you can require that. You couldn't have it as a trigger upon that second engineer.
Right, Richard. Mm-hmm. Now, on the signage, I understand that if we were to attach the signage as an exhibit, it's conceptual, it can change, no problem. Was there any discussion on the height in terms of reducing the height from the 12 foot requested down to something that's more fitting with the neighborhood?
And actually, that 12-foot dimension is the width. So it's about 7 feet, almost 8 feet high. I actually have an exhibit if you'd like to look at it.
If it's the same as what was presented, if you see the time, what's in the packet is significantly larger than what was presented. What was presented to me would be acceptable for the size of the signs in that neighborhood there, fitting with what's around it. But the language in the agreement is it was 10 by 15, 12 by 15. That seems a little excessive, but the architecture that was presented is good. So that's where I'm comfortable. That's why I'm asking about that.
Yes, what's presented is actually a maximum size. But again, they have committed to a size that's going to be about 7 or 8 by 15, 7 feet high, 8 feet high, and that's from the front of the road. They just
second.
Do you have a rough idea of the number of employees that will be here?
Yeah, between 30 and 40 full-time employees on three different shifts. So 10 to 15 in the building at any given time.
Anyone else?
One more clarification.
Yes.
In the draft attachment of the annexation agreement language, we are going to revise that to clarify that the term of this agreement will be 20 years from the date of the First Amendment, which was in October of 2008. So this agreement would run into 2020.
Okay, well, thank you, gentlemen. It's definitely a welcome and needed facility. Thank you very much. And we will close public hearing. Next, we have citizen comments on items that are on the agenda this evening. Do we have any citizens that would like to comment on anything that is on the agenda? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved. Second.
Roll call, please.
Colosimo?
Aye.
Wilczynski?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Teeling?
Aye.
Motion passes.
I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the regular City Council meeting of January 10th, 2017, as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Any comments, questions, or corrections on the minutes? All those in favor of approving as presented, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, no mayor's report, no public works committee report, economic development, public safety or admin committee reports. Under park board, I'll entertain a motion to approve an ordinance authorizing the Fourth Amendment to the annual budget for fiscal year commencing May 1st, 2016 and ending on April 30th. 2017, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
So moved.
Okay. Comments or questions?
So right now, as this is presented, there's a deficit, but the deficit is looking like it's going to end up around $60,000 as compared to the $160,000. Is that what it was? Without looking at the back.
Yeah, in general, yes.
So an improvement in the deficit, but out of that, we're looking to incur an additional $53,000 of deficit spending by this time.
Correct.
So we're still, if this is approved, we are still in a deficit spending situation for the Parks and Rec budget. For this time.
Correct.
Okay. We're looking to spend $53,000. What is the purpose of the new mower? I know it's for mowing our. We have one that's family, do we have one?
We have two mowers at both of our big parks, like Rotary and Pressure, presumably 65, and we have two. One is completely shot, and it's $5,000 to $7,000 to fix it, and it's going to keep breaking. The other one is 8 years old and not in great shape. So we need a new one to maintain all the parks that we have to maintain every year. And then we're just going to keep it because we can still use parts off of it to help fix the 8-year-old one, the 10-year-old one.
Okay, so that's what I was going to ask, is why we're not trading the one.
Yeah. Yes, it's not worth trading in for what we get. And it's more valuable to us to continuously take parts off of that as a second older one we can replace with easily then.
Okay. I just wanted to double check because I know the Parks and Rec Department is doing much better than it has in the past, but obviously we're still spending a deficit on it. Okay.
Anyone else? Roll call, please.
Frieders?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Colosimo?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Wilczynski?
Aye.
Teeling?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Nothing from planning and zoning, no city council reports, city clerk's report, and a community and liaison reports. Staff reports?
No reports.
Under presentations, Leo Pardo presentation is going to be put off until May. Bart reached out to him and just explained to him that we're going to have two new aldermen as a minimum come May, and we're in the process of getting our purchasing manager on board. So we ask that they come back in May and they can do a full presentation in May.
If I could add to that?
Yeah.
I did speak with them about this. This did come from committee to the council here for the fact that the committee thought it would be a good idea for the department to provide a presentation to us on what the program is, how it functions, and what the opportunities are for that. I think everybody was given a copy via email of the study that they had prepared, which outlines it. But through the committee, we felt that it would be good to have them come out here and thoroughly explain how this program works and why we've been discussing it since May of last year. With that, the petitioner, or not the consultant, was afforded about 10 minutes to make a presentation here, which is concerning. It took about 45 minutes to present into committee. And so here, 10 minutes to go through that was not sufficient time. Consultant Clay Carter was well aware that there is an election and that we are deficient one all the way from resignation because that ultimately was actually on the committee when it started. So, in all fairness, this is not necessarily something that Clay Carter did not want to present tonight. They were willing to come here, but due to the time allocation of 10 minutes, they, with my discussions with them, it was not appropriate for them to present in a brief amount of time. Beneficial. So, time constraints being that, it was something that we a part of did not, with my discussions, wouldn't feel that it would be beneficial to be here tonight to present. So, against the will of the committee, there will not be a presentation on 6 months.
Well, if anyone wants to watch the 45-minute version, it's videotape. I think we watch videotape for the 45 minutes. So, if anyone wants to see it, they say if you want to commit to it. Any additional business? I did have a couple things. Is Rob here this evening? I'm right. Christy? I did want to congratulate Rob. For the sixth year in a row, we are awarded the Achievement for Excellence in Financial Reporting for our CAFER. I'll read the first paragraph here from the press release. The Certificate of Achievement for Excellence in Financial Reporting has been awarded to the United City of Yorkville by the Government Finance Officers Association of the United States and Canada for its comprehensive annual financial report. The Certificate of Achievement is the highest form of recognition in the area of governmental accounting and financial reporting, and its attainment represents a significant accomplishment by government and its management. So, Rob, job well done. I mean, six times in a row. I hate to say we get tired of winning the awards, but it's awfully nice to be recognized. Good job.
Thank you.
A quick update on another item. Just this past Friday, Congressman Holmgren had a breakfast for all the mayors of the 14th District just to give us an update on what's going on in Washington and open it up to any questions or concerns that we may have. And I did talk to him about our situation with the special census. He's reached out to the Census Bureau. There's no update as of yet. They're trying to, and for the background on it, we're due to have a special census this spring. We sent the Census Bureau a check for $108,000. We covered the full cost of the census, including any special census takers. Unfortunately, we were notified, about 2 weeks ago, that due to the president's hiring freeze on federal employees, the Census Bureau will not be hiring any special census takers, even though we pay the salaries of them. So Congressman Holmgren is looking into it. Hopefully they can find a workaround, or at least give us $108,000 back at a minimum. But I did bring it up to a group of mayors, hoping that maybe someone else was in the same situation. And the mayor from Volo, who I met for the first time, mentioned that they were in a similar situation, and they were notified that they were stopping their census as well. But they were just called early last week to go ahead and keep going through the process. So we reached out to our city administrator in hopes that maybe we could get ours going again. But the reason they got going again is because they were further along in the process. They already had offered letters out to special census takers. So since the hiring process was already midstream, they were allowed to go through the hiring process. So unfortunately, the Volvo situation didn't help us out. So we'll keep on it. I contacted the congressman's office again just yesterday and wait to hear back again. So hopefully we get some news on it.
So you said $108,000 that we made covers the special census takers?
Yes, yeah, so we have to pay 100% of the cost of out the special census. Yep. But you have to remember, we stand to lose between now and the next census about $600,000. The way taxes are allocated in Illinois. So, I mean, we're potentially not gaining $15,000 a month that we would be getting. Because we've added about 400 homes and over 1,000 residents since the last census.
No, I understand. That's why we voted for that, too.
Right. So, yeah, hopefully we get one thing or the other.
Well,
it's an option, I guess. So, but by the time it's resolved in court, the next census will be done.
Yeah.
Then we're done in the ninth circle.
Okay, that's all I have for additional business. We do have executive session this evening for litigation, property acquisition, and personnel. And after executive session, there's no further action taken, but we will have citizen comments. So we'll adjourn to executive session.
Got it.
We are back in the regular session. Do we have any citizen comments?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Please state your name for the record.
Andy Graham, 110 North Conover Court, Countryside. You guys mind if I see?
No, you're fine. You hear me? Okay. We would like you to sign in, though. So
I signed in on this clipboard here.
Okay, that's fine.
Do I have to sign in on a separate one?
No, you're fine.
Okay. I just want to make the city council aware there was a story in the patch about me using my golf cart as a mobility device in and around my neighborhood of Countryside. The way that I have interpreted the ADA and looked at case law, which I will reference, sidewalks are, in fact, covered under the ADA, and Kathleen Fieldor was mistaken in her letter to Bart Olson saying that they are not. Barton versus Sacramento ruled that the programs, activities, and services that cities provide, that sidewalks fall underneath those programs. It then went to the Ninth Circuit Court, which we all know and love now. They upheld. It then went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court deferred to the Ninth Circuit's decision. The reason this is important is because using an other powered, motor-driven mobility device is my right as a disabled person. I can't use a scooter because I'm 6'4" and weigh 280 pounds. It will tip and fall. I use a wide wheelbase golf cart on the sidewalk to take my boys to and from the bus stop and to get to my neighbor's house and enjoy community activity, which is what the ADA is there to protect. The reason the sidewalk issue is important, in my neighborhood, the streets were just redone, thankfully, wonderfully. And they did do curbing on the sidewalks, but they also did something else. They changed the configuration of the sidewalks. And that falls under ADA as well as in needing to replace all damaged sidewalks in that neighborhood. Now, if you've been in my neighborhood, as Mr. Tarulis lives, you will know that the sidewalks, because of our wonderful large trees, have roots kicking up those sidewalks everywhere, making it difficult for someone with disabilities to walk around. It would also make it difficult for somebody in a scooter to drive around on those sidewalks. Since we don't want people driving those scooters in the street because the sidewalks are in disrepair, my option is a golf cart. I came here in good faith, talked to the chief, who was very welcoming, very, very welcoming, gave him the OPDMD information to give to Kathleen Fieldor. She sent a letter back to Bart Olson saying the ADA does not apply to thoroughfares, walkways, and sidewalks. Nothing could be more further than the truth. There are two class action cases. One is CDR versus Caltrans in California, was a $1.1 billion settlement. That is billion. Small punitive damages and attorney fees had to be footed by Caltrans, and they had to repair 2,500 miles of sidewalk. Last year, Willits versus the City of Los Angeles settled a $1.4, making it the largest $1.4 billion lawsuit. The City of Los Angeles now has to repair all of the sidewalks in the city in the next 40 years. Sidewalks in the ADA very much apply, which is why I filed a complaint with the Department of Justice for discrimination. It's a very serious issue, and I wanted this city council and not just particular people involved to know exactly what is going on. Because in the end, if the DOJ, which from attorneys that I've spoken to, they would be shocked if the DOJ didn't take the case, because there is no precedent-setting case for this particular item. And the ADA stipulates that golf carts can be used as other mobility devices. This is field oversight and safety concerns, which of course, safety concerns. The ADA stipulates that it has to be heavy pedestrian traffic. Do you know what heavy pedestrian traffic is? It's definitely not in my neighborhood. It's definitely not at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock in the morning when I'm going to the bus stop, or maybe 7 or 8 o'clock after dinner that I'm going to my friend's house. There is no danger to pedestrians in my neighborhood. The ADA also says that you, the city, the municipality, can make an exception for one disabled person. So you can pass your ordinance banning golf carts and say, that's fine, nobody else is going to use them, but because of your disability, we're going to let you. That didn't happen. All of these things fall under intent of discrimination, which is far more grave than just negligible discrimination. Now, the punitive damages involved, they're capped by the federal government, so it's not a lot of money, and I don't want money. I just want to be able to use my car to take my kids to and from the bus stop in my neighborhood and nothing else. I suggest that either one, the city seeks outside legal counsel to determine whether or not they should do something about it, because Kathleen Field's opinion in this letter is flagrantly inaccurate. And in the city council and the parks and safety committee meeting last month when you guys were talking about it, Alderman Freers asked how much time was spent, how much did this letter cost? Very good question. Bart Olson replied, she probably spent a couple hours on it, probably $500, we haven't gotten the bill yet. You cannot assess the pedestrian traffic in my neighborhood in 2 hours from the city of Chicago. You cannot. And the ADA also stipulates that reasonable accommodations be provided. This is a reasonable accommodation. You guys all should be aware of it, because it's going to affect everyone. And that's it. That's all.
Thank you, Mr. Graham.
You're welcome.
The knowledge of the comment, meeting adjourned.